Hello again, everyone, and welcome to another exciting episode of Are You Not Kentertained? This is episode 119, and today's date is July 11th, 2018. My name is Carrie, and I'll be your host for the evening as we navigate through this week's episode. And as always, I am joined by Kent and Russ. How you doing, guys?
Wow. Already. It's like you've been gone 2 weeks.
It's like I have been gone 2 weeks. And I'm going to say perfectly fine. Thanks for asking. And it was good until I just screwed that all up. Yes, the mute button hates me. We're professionals here, though.
I mean, it was your first line.
I know, and I already messed it up. We're doing great.
He's got it out of his system. Now we shouldn't have this
bullshit.
Issue.
Yeah, no, it's happened at least one more time.
Okay, I was being optimistic here, guys.
Oh, God damn it, Russ. Good for you.
I know. Here for it.
Yeah.
All right. So for our first-time listeners, welcome. And for our returning listeners, welcome back. The three of us talk about all things wrestling. This week, we're going to preview and give our predictions on this weekend's Extreme Rules pay-per-view, which will probably include our thoughts on this week's SmackDown and Raw. And we also have our normal segments for you as well. But before we get to Extreme Rules and everything else that we have on the agenda, Kent, what's your moment of bliss?
Yeah, I hadn't put an ounce of thought about that until you just asked me, so good for me. Professionalism's high here. Shit. Well, I guess I'd like to say that Amazon Prime now offers quite a selection of films that came this month of July, including the cult classic The Monster Squad, which, if I ever get a hold of one of the actresses, she actually was going to do a podcast on here with me. So there is that. And they also add Mulholland Drive, a film that many mainstream people may be familiar with, but it stars Naomi Watts, Justin Theroux, and Billy Ray Cyrus, who wasn't irritating. This was a kind of like pre-daughter thing. So, wasn't bad. It's a weird film, though. It'll make you think, and if you like it, it'll make you immediately want to watch it again to answer all of your questions. So, good for Amazon Prime, and the other positive thing I want to talk about is I've now seen a tag team that I've been wanting to see for a while. That is Corbin Elias. Can Survivor Series hurry up? Because we know that Corbin will work with the Revival. So can we make Team Trek the Revival, Elias, Corbin? Can we make this happen for Survivor Series? I'm not asking for much, because God knows the past 2 weeks, we have not gotten much. But just that, just those four guys as a team. Please? That I don't feel it's asking for much. So that's my moment of bliss.
Kent, can I give you one more moment of bliss that I know you'll have?
Go on.
Okay. So on August 4th, someplace in upstate New York, I'm not 100% positive where it is, there's going to be extreme midget wrestling.
Well, Jesus, tap dancing, Christ.
It's in Hastings, New York.
Where the fuck is Hastings?
I don't know, but I really want to go to this.
God damn it, that sounds downright tantalizing. I just found out that this group called the Dead South is apparently performing in New York, I think in November. I got super excited. I probably shouldn't go, because my head can't really handle loud music or anything, but I really want to go. They're very entertaining individuals, and I don't know, it's one of those things, I won't go, but I want to.
Yeah.
But midgets, on the other hand, yes.
Yes, exactly. Yeah. So
That is some spank bank material right there if they have the female midget wrestlers.
I will share it with you.
Delightful.
So I thought you might like to know that. I figured I'd wait to the podcast.
Appreciate it.
For your moment of bliss.
Because Russ does not like to wait. He likes to have all of these debates in the pre-show yes. warm-up that we have. And then by the time podcast comes, he's like, oh, I'm just going to keep the mute button on.
Right, because we don't need to hear me talk. Exactly.
All right. So we've got we're going from midget wrestling to this weekend's pay-per-view. I say we just keep the excitement up. We're at a good excitement level. What do you guys think?
Yes. This was
cocaine.
So exciting. Extreme Rules.
Yeah. All right. Let's take a look at the Raw side of the card first for Extreme Rules. We have for the first matchup, we have Finn Balor versus Baron Corbin. I have to admit, I'm enjoying how this is progressing. Do I see Baron Corbin winning? Probably not, but I don't know. What do you think, Kent?
Well, I want to say this is probably the best month of Corbin's in-ring skills I've seen since... Remember last year there was like that month where all of a sudden like snapped his head, the light bulb went on, and like he fucking was doing good in the ring. And then they didn't push him. Cena happened. So we're finally back on the right path here. Him and Finn, perfect matchup. Corbin with smaller dudes, always great combination. I don't think Corbin needs the win, but simultaneously, I don't think Finn needs the win either. Actually, I think Finn probably needs to win more than Corbin. So, I'll pick Corbin.
And Russ.
I'm in agreement with you guys. I think this will be a good match. I think this is going to be one of those ones that kind of flies in under the radar. It comes out to be pretty decent. I'm not going to say it's going to be stealing the show because I don't think there'll be enough time.
Would a stipulation have helped?
Yes, absolutely. Yeah. I don't know how at Extreme Rules, this doesn't have a stipulation. So, I mean, this really shocked me this year for this pay-per-view. They really kind of botched this. But, with that being said, I think definitely a stipulation could still happen. Corbin is the constable. So,
like a chair match? I think a chair, just yeah. chair would have even helped.
And we already something. Know he can, we already know Corbin can deliver on a chair match.
Exactly.
So, match.
God, I kind of want to watch that again.
Yeah, that was a good match.
That was a good one.
Yeah. I like this. I think you guys are right. I think Finn needs to win more than Corbin. Corbin's been on a roll on Raw. Finn's just been there. He's been kind of back and forth. Finn needs the win. So I'm going to go with Corbin because Finn needs the win.
All right, moving on to the next match on the card. We have Braun Strowman versus Kevin Owens in a steel cage match. The build to this match has been the most enjoyable thing I've ever seen. It really, really just to see what happens next to Kevin Owens has been a highlight of Raw for me for the past couple weeks. But I do have one question for you guys before I get your thoughts on this match for Extreme Rules. He has worn a hoodie the past 2 weeks. First week it was a Baron Corbin hoodie. The second week it was a Sami Zayn hoodie. I'm wondering whose he's going to wear next. So I need an answer from you guys on that as well as what your thoughts are in this match. Russ, I'll start with you.
All right. So I think the match should be very good. Kevin Owens is a perfect foil for Braun. So I'm thinking this will be decent, but I'm afraid it's a steel cage match. So they're going to try to do... Braun's going to do something brawny. Like a Braun move. Like maybe lift the cage. I don't know how they're going to do this.
What's he going to do? Just punch a cage completely off the hinges?
You're joking, but that's probably what's going to happen. He's going to punch the cage and it's going to fall apart. And he's just going to walk out. So that's probably what's
going to... I could sadly see this happening if it wasn't so unsafe for the crowd.
Right, exactly. Well, no, he could do it. Punch it towards the way that Brock went out. Brock and Roman went out.
Yeah, if you did it by the entrance. Oh, good lord! We just gave him an idea.
Good job, Kent. That's how it's ending. God damn it! But the only thing I'll say about this whole thing is Braun Strowman is the biggest bully I have ever seen, and why we're cheering him makes absolutely no sense. This has been the most backwards thing ever, and WWE loves to do this, and I don't know why. I mean, I guess because we know it's fake, it's okay, but if you were thinking about this in person, Kevin Owens is being bullied. He has done nothing to Braun, and Braun has been an ass.
He's tried being a friend.
Yeah. I mean, the story has just been ass backwards, but I don't care that much. I think it's going to be a fun match. I don't like that to steel cage match because Braun's going to do something. Hopefully, it'll be entertaining. The next hoodie he's going to wear is going to be Ty Dillinger's Perfect 10.
All right, Kent, what do you think?
That's a good answer. See, the question is, does it have to be somebody on Raw?
No, because that's why I chose Ty.
Well, yeah, but your opinion...
That's true. I mean, it's worthless.
Yeah. I don't know. I was actually going to pick somebody on SmackDown, though. I was going to go with Orton. Because I feel Orton's due back sooner than later.
You know what would be kind of funny?
SummerSlam money's coming.
Yeah. I bet you he'll wear Braun. I didn't tell you who I was going to think was going to win. I think Owens is winning this.
You are cutting into my segment.
I'm sorry. Owens is going to win, and he's going to wear a Braun Strowman hoodie. Sorry.
I think, you know, I wish we knew how bad Sammy was, quote unquote, hurt. But I think Baron may come out and help him. I don't know. Why not? Maybe he's trying to curry favor with the constable. We also now have acknowledged that the whole, you know, quarter of the cage is going to go falling down, and Braun is going to try to walk on it, get his foot stuck, and Kevin Owens is going to win. That's how this is going to end, possibly with the help of the constable. And if I had to pick a dark horse for hoodie, if it wasn't going to be Randy, I'd say Goldust. Because Goldust just had the surgery.
Yes. Does Goldust even have a hoodie?
Does Ty have a hoodie?
No, I don't think so. But at least you can see the Perfect 10 emblem on one.
Oh, like you can't picture a Goldust face on a hoodie?
Actually, like one of those full body hoodies, you know, the ones where you zip it up and gold faces the gold. Yeah, I can see.
Oh, that'd be amazing.
Are you talking about a onesie?
No. They're hoodies that you zip up the hood part, and it's like a face. They have a couple of those for the younger kids nowadays.
Oh, okay. I know what you're talking about. I got confused between that and a onesie.
Yeah, onesies are...
A gold dust onesie would be pretty cool, too.
That would be cool.
All right, guys, let's move on to the last non-title match on the card. We have Roman Reigns versus Bobby Lashley. I don't care, guys. I know Reigns is winning, and I just don't care. Kent, what do you think?
I thought that they tried way too hard this week. All right, this is not Brock versus Taker, so slow your fucking roll, WWE. Second of all, when Corbin, Rhino, Titus, Authors of Pain are out there, that's all you need. You do not need 20 and 20 plus guys out there to separate. Seriously, you just need AOP and two other dudes. Connor's fat ass is out there, okay? Like, you had Bulk out there. And yeah, who did I see? I saw Mike Kanellis out there. I'm sitting there like, I like you, Mike, but what the fuck are you doing? What's Finn doing out there? What are you guys really doing? If AOP is struggling with this issue, your two cents is not adding up to the dollar. Okay, guys? For fuck's sakes. Here's the thing. This match is going to be awesome. It's going to be great. As far as I'm concerned, it's probably the match of the night. Lashley's the real deal. They're finally starting to showcase a little bit more of his talking ability because he's not defending his sister, fake sisters. He's not having weird promos with Sammy. I don't know, like, were they just ribbing him during that feud? Like, I'm confused. Did he pass the test? I don't know, but now he's finally allowed to talk a little bit more naturally. And it shows. And in a lot of ways, this has kind of brought out the best of both guys. If we weren't so damn sick of Roman, this would actually be a fun feud. We're just sick of Roman's push.
That isn't happening.
Yeah, I'm picking Lashley. I'm picking Lashley, and somehow Roman Reigns still weasels his way into the Brock match. Because that's the story that they're telling us. If you whine enough or bully enough, you get your way in WWE.
Sounds about right. Russ, what
do you think? Lashley will be wearing nobody's hoodie.
That I will agree with that. All right, so I think this is going to be a really good match, too. Kent's right. I mean, these Roman always produces, and Bobby Lashley's really good. I'm excited. I think this is going to be one of Bobby's first true good match in WWE. So I'm really excited to see how it goes. They're going to get plenty of time, so they're going to be able to tell a story. This may steal the show. It wouldn't be to stealing the show. Technically, it's a main event. So,
is it the main event?
No, I hope they're going with AJ versus Rusev, but...
I think this is the main event.
It may be.
I'm in agreement. This is.
So it can't steal the show, but it is going to be good. My only concern with this whole thing is that brawl, and I'm going to go piggyback on what Kent said, that was friggin' ridiculous. How dumb was this brawl? It felt so forced. And I hate when they do that. Like, these guys have absolutely no reason to hate each other that much. There's been nothing between them that would make them hate each other this much.
I feel those guys that were not able to hold back Bobby and Roman should have just joined the Me Too movement because their careers got violated badly.
It was really... I was... Usually I'm okay with a brawl that gets held back and guys are fighting... This was bad. Like, it was just like, how can six guys not hold one guy back when two of the guys are bigger than the two guys that are trying to fight? I mean,
even Paige can't handle that many guys.
Exactly. Paige can only handle two at most, usually. So, maybe three. I think she could go three. Anyway, I am going to enjoy this match, though. I'm pretty sure of it. I am just so sick with this whole Roman thing. They screwed the pooch on this one. Big time with Roman. They really, really screwed this up. I think Bobby Lashley is winning this. Or, no, I'm sorry. I'm going to call a no contest. Something's going to happen where neither of them actually win on this one. And
so we get the triple threat
at SummerSlam.
Do you think that... I've been thinking we're getting the triple threat so Brock doesn't have to do the job. I think they're going to hold off on Brock doing the job. And it's going to piss everybody off.
Yep.
But I think that's where they're heading with this.
That's what it feels like. And I think the triple threat match will be fine. But, my God, we'll talk about Brock later. So, let's... Got a lot of problems with that issue.
All right, let's continue on. First championship matchup is a Raw Tag Team title match. We have the Deleters of Worlds versus the B-Team. I have enjoyed this so much. Bo's impression of his brother Bray, real life brother for our listeners who don't know, is just so spot on. I mean, who wouldn't want to like make fun of their sibling as like their daily job? I mean, that's every person who has a sibling's dream, right? I don't have a sibling, so I don't know nothing about that.
Aren't you an only child? So how would you know?
I can only imagine.
But you live with Eric, so making fun of Eric every day is something similar.
Fair enough. Yes, absolutely. So anyway, my pick for this match, I'm going with the B team. They have so much momentum right now, and I think they could do some really good things with the title, so I'm going with them. Russ, what are your thoughts?
I really like what they're doing with this, but something tells me WWE doesn't give a two shits about this title or this feud. So I'm pretty sure the Deleters of Worlds are keeping the belts. They're building up the B-Team very well, though, I think. I thought they did a really good job with it. This has been fantastic as a feud goes, but WWE's negligence of it, of the feud itself, just tells me that they don't care. And it sucks, because they should care about all their titles, considering one of their titles is never on the damn show.
I think Bliss just wrestled not too many weeks ago.
Kent, I'm talking about the Universal title, or the Red Belt, as some of us call it.
The what?
The Red Belt. The
Fruit
Roll-Up.
I don't know what you're talking about.
Roll-Up.
I ran out of my fruit roll-ups, too, damn it. I just ordered more yesterday.
The reason I say that WWE doesn't care about this is when you go to Hulu, they haven't said a word about it on Hulu. Like, I have to watch on Hulu now. I don't have to, but it's just as easy. And they never do the Raw Tag Team Championships. Oh, SmackDown, no problem. But Raw? Nope, not a word. So, it's a shame. But I'm going to have to stick with the Deleter Worlds. I think they're going to keep it. This is just the way they built up the B team to get the loss. That's what this was.
And you know, Kent?
I think you're wrong, Russ.
I hope I'm wrong, but go ahead.
I think you're wrong as far as the negligence goes. For how many straight weeks? I mean, it's been pretty much every week for the past 2 months. The tag team, either the B team or the Deleters of Worlds, have been involved in a segment on Raw. They have been given time. Now, I know in your magical fairy tale land of Hulu, it may not seem relevant, but for those of us who still watch and or read results...
All I was saying... Oh, go ahead, finish. I'll know.
Yeah, they're not deeming it important enough on Hulu. I get it.
Well, that's what I'm saying. If it's not getting onto Hulu, that tells me WWE doesn't care if it's on Hulu or not. So I don't.
That may just be a fucking editing decision more so than WWE whether they care. As the old story goes, if WWE is actually putting you on TV time, that's costing them thousands of dollars per minute. They care. So if they're giving them, I mean, if you go through the past 2 months, how many airtime? They've probably had close to hour and a half of TV time over the past two months. That's a lot, because they've had backstage segments, they've had the fucking barbecue, they've had a lot of segments. I don't know, I think they're invested. But I also think that they're invested and they've given us a little raging clue as to whoever wins this is going to be feuding with the Revival, it appeared.
I think so.
From, you know, because they showed the Revival watching the monitor. And finally, they seem interested in the Revival. So, the question is, who gives them the better match? The Deleters of Worlds give them the better match. But, they've just invested a lot in the B-Team. Does it make sense to give the B-Team that one-month run so that every time the B-Team is in a match, they can say, well, these are former tag team champions, just like Rhino and Heath Slater. WWE loves these short-term runs so they can toss that on there. Oh, Zack Ryder, he's former Intercontinental Champion. For a day.
How about Fashion Police, though? This feels a lot like Fashion Police.
It does, but they've been given new life, whereas, I mean, Breezango, Jesus, they've been doing that shtick for a while, and I don't know. I don't compare it quite to their situation, but I understand the analogy. I'm going to go...
It's tough, isn't it?
I'm going to go B-Team because I don't really know where else you go with Matt and Bray. WWE doesn't seem invested in the Woken universe. That's where the money is. That's where the money is with those guys as champs. You do the creative, broken shit that they did in TNA. That's where the money is. And although not all the fans, we didn't really like what we saw when they finally did that match. But we know that they can do better. We know that they can, and that's where the money is, something different. If WWE's not willing to do it, time to move on and give it to the B-Team.
All right, fair enough. Let's move on to the Raw Women's Championship match. We have Alexa Bliss versus Nia Jax in an Extreme Rules match. I'll be honest, guys, I'm not very vested in this. I foresee, just because Ronda Rousey is going to be ringside in the crowd, that Alexa's retaining, because we're getting Alexa versus Ronda at some point. So I say Alexa retains. Kent?
I really like the commercial for Ronda as a playable character for the video game. I thought that was one of the best things that they've produced in a while. It's actually right up the, I mean, for a short thing, I mean, I still like the Hardy Boys thing special that they did. I thought that was really well done. But that was a great commercial. for fuck's sakes, can't we get rid of Nia Jax? What the fuck is she bringing to the table right now? I sit
She's
here and I look at the...
from the table, can't look at her size.
Yeah, fucking John... Nia Jax makes me want to have a vasectomy so my children don't have to see Nia Jax in that attire, okay? God damn it. She... Ugh. And this is why we can't have nice things, because Nia Jax has been in the title hunt for how many months now? While deserving people... Don't? Like, they just don't. They don't get it. And Nia does. And I'm sick of it.
Well, Kent.
I'm sick.
She's not like most girls.
Yeah, I know. Instead, you know, we could have had like a great fucking Emma versus Bliss feud. Yeah. Could have. No. Could we have had Foxy versus Bliss? Sure. Could have been a great feud. We could do so many fun things. Bliss versus Sasha is actually a really good matchup. We didn't really do that all that much. We got Nia. So, fuck this. Bliss better win in her... What is this, a hardcore match?
Extreme rules match.
Yeah, that's it.
Okay, extreme rules.
Which means there are no rules.
It's a New Orleans street fight taking place in Chicago. Fuck, I hate how they come up with the dumbest fucking names for matches. Yeah, Bliss for the win, Kent for the disappointment, and the vasectomy.
Russ, how about you?
Oh, God, I just cannot wait for this to be over with. If there's a match on this card that is so telegraphed to what's going to happen, it's this one. Clearly, Alexis is going to win this by hook or by crook. She's not going to win it fairly because you got to keep Nia, I guess, looking good. I'm not 100% sure how you do that.
How's it end? I mean, obviously, Rhonda's getting involved.
Rhonda's going to get involved.
How the fuck did she get tickets? This shit's supposed to be sold out for months.
Yeah, I know, right?
She finds out she got suspended and then magically gets front row seats.
She must know somebody in the back.
I doubt that.
The match is going to be terrible. Alexa and Nia have horrible matches. This is not going to be good. I expect to be...
Can you just say that Nia has terrible matches?
Okay, fair enough. Well, I bet Nia usually does have terrible matches, you're right. I foresee this definitely... Alexis is going to cheat somehow to win, and we're definitely going to have Rhonda versus Alexis. I don't see there being a way Nia wins this.
Why do you say cheating? Isn't Rhonda just going to hurt Nia to the point where Alexa gets the cheap win?
No, because why would...
Cheating?
No, now... Rhonda now has beef with Alexis now, not Nia. That was the...
She has beef with everybody. She's going to knock both those bitches out, and Mickie James is going to come in, roll Bliss over on Nia, and that's going to be it. I don't think it's going to be a cheat to win Eddie Guerrero shit. I think Rhonda's going to be the star and just, you know, rob
everybody
with their
blow. I guess that's a possibility. But isn't she just as bad as Alexis then? Even worse, considering she came out as a crowd member?
Are you saying Alexis or Alexa?
Am I saying
Alexis? I swear I'm hearing Alexis.
I am probably saying Alexis. I'm sorry. I have a...
Back of my fucking hand.
Alexa. It's because Alexa Bliss, so I kind of mix them together. Alexa is... I think Mickie James is getting involved too. But if Rhonda attacks Alexa and Nia, isn't she just as bad of what Alexa did? In fact, Alexa, what she did was even more... legal, because she was going to cash in shouldn't Rhonda also, if she gets involved, be even more suspended because she's not even part of the pay-per-view?
Russ, bullies are the true heroes in this world.
Oh, so many questions that go on with this. WWE logic is garbage.
It's almost like to a point where, do you even want your, like, if you have kids, would you want your kids watching this and being like, so what's the right way to go about this? Like, they're teaching kids horrible lessons, and this is family-friendly entertainment.
Be a star!
I was just going to say, be a star, guys. Be a star.
Alexa is definitely winning this. There's no ifs, ands, or buts. And it's going to be a terrible match. Although...
I hope we see her butt.
Oh, absolutely. We can see her butt every day.
All right. So, to get... Russ, just to get you even more excited, let's talk about the Intercontinental title match. We have Dolph Ziggler versus...
Burn it down.
Okay, Dolph Ziggler versus Seth Rollins in a 30-minute Iron Man match. I want to see Ziggler retain here.
Ziggles. That's a great name.
Okay,
wow.
So
Mr.
Ziggles. Forum I used to go,
Mr. Ziggles.
This forum I used to go to, that was a nickname they had for Dolph Ziggler. And sometimes I just use it. And I don't want to,
no,
but I use it.
I think I'm going to use it from now on. It's the old Ziggles.
But then again, I'm kind of torn with this match, guys. Because I want Ziggler to retain. However, I also want to see more Rollins versus McIntyre on my TV. So I'm really torn, but I'm leaning towards Ziggler. Kent, what do you think?
I want to hear Russ more than
I was going to say. Right, I cannot believe you went to Kent on my match.
Yeah, I'll be a gentleman. Russ, please,
boy. First of all, I'm very, very excited about this match. I think this has the potential to steal the show. I'll say that right now.
Oh, my God. It has the potential to steal the show, ladies and gentlemen, right from Russell's mouth.
Just going to call it right now.
And Rollins is involved, so of course it's going to be match of the night,
that's
Kent.
Why I said it. That's why I said it. Okay, as a feud goes, this has been a really decent feud. I really liked it. I love everything they're doing with Ziggler, Rollins, McIntyre. It's been really great. The match with McIntyre and Seth on Raw this past week was decent. A little slow in the beginning. I was a little worried about it. But McIntyre can go, and Seth is a great ragdoll for him. I think they could have a really good feud, which is why I think it's better to have Seth win this thing so Drew can take it off of him. Yes, I know I'm trying to give Seth back the belt, but it's all in...
You're trying to get things taken off of Seth, Russ, is what you're really
Well, it
doing.
Is going to... Yes, it is going to come off of him eventually, because I think Drew is going to be an amazing Intercontinental Champion. I think there's going to be a lot of close falls. I think there's going to be... I keep on asking myself, over-under... What do you think? Over-under on three falls on this, Kent?
I think I would take the over.
I was thinking that way, too. I think it's going to be a lot of pins, but I'm also thinking maybe they're going to do a lot of near falls to get everybody excited. So, I don't know. That was tricky. But I am going to say this has been a great feud. It's fine that Ziggler's held it for a month. If he loses it, no big deal. It's not going to hurt it at all. So Seth's going to take this, and I think Drew is going to enter in for SummerSlam and beyond.
To the audience, in case you were wondering what that slurping sound was, that was just Russ giving his opinion on a Seth Rollins match. There was no technical difficulties. It was just slurping, okay? That happens from time to time. So the money is in Drew. Drew's going to be the reason that whoever wins, wins. Whether Drew accidentally cost Dolph the match, I could see... I think either way, Drew is involved in the final part, and I think that this is leading to a hell of a three-way SummerSlam. Yes, Russ, and Seth's belt may get removed, and your pants will be off. We get it. We get it, okay? We get it. I mean, really, can't you just picture, like, them going for the intentional DQ to, like, wear down Seth? That works, but then Seth regains the pinfall. You know, he gets back two pinfalls. I think there's going to be a lot of numbers here. I don't think it's just going to be three. I think we're going to work the DQ angle, weaken Seth, and then pin him, and then have him scratch and claw and fake an injury and be dominant, you know, for 27 minutes after, you know, his injury 3 minutes in, because that's what Seth does. And Seth, you know, please, can you stop doing the buckle bomb? You killed Sting? I mean...
I thought...
He was your hero, Seth. Maybe stop doing the fucking move that killed him?
I thought Drew took it very well.
Russ, enough with the sexual innuendo, okay? Please.
What are you talking about? If we're nothing else, we are a lot of sexual innuendo on this show.
Paige would disagree. You know what? I'm going to say Seth wins it. I think that it's going to be the quirky ending. Wyatt's have a match to decide Drew's going to be out there. Isn't that the twist? Like, the twist is that he's out there now. It's official. So everybody's like, oh, Dolph's got the advantage. Dolph don't ever need long runs with the Intercontinental Championship. He's just trying to make numbers.
Yeah.
He's good like that.
And again,
the whole goal here is to get Drew over.
Right. And I think Seth's... I know I'm... Here's the slurping sound coming again if you can't understand what's going on. I think Seth's the perfect guy to get Drew over, so...
Oh, boy. I heard that they sell Slurpees at 7-Elevens.
I wish there were some 7-Elevens. It is 7-Eleven today, so...
I was going to say, are they giving away free Slurpees today because it's 7-Eleven?
They might be. Maybe that's why I'm slurping so much.
God damn. You know what? I found a basketball player averaged 9.2 points and 2.9 assists, and I swear he is now my second favorite basketball player. You don't get numbers like that and not become a favorite.
LeBron James?
No, an an antagonistic person to LeBron who now has joined LeBron on the Lakers named Lance Stevenson. But he blew in LeBron's ear one game, and it was hilarious.
Good stuff.
All right. Oh, that covers a Raw card, guys. You ready to jump over to SmackDown?
Wait, we're already done with Raw?
No. No, I am not ready.
You're not?
No.
Why, no. Ket?
Because I haven't heard enough about what's going on in the world of professional wrestling.
On Raw, especially.
Especially on Raw. And elsewhere.
I feel like Kent's trying to allude to something that neither of us are catching on to.
Kent, what are you getting to here?
I'm going to sit this one out.
I think it's the fact that wrestling has been boring lately. It's been very stagnant the last couple of weeks. I think that's...
Speak for yourselves. I've been watching some exciting stuff.
Oh, God. Here's that slurping noise coming from Carrie. How's that New Japan coming along?
I have a lot in my corner right now, guys. It is very, very full. Very full.
We'll have to talk about your corner. Maybe we should talk about it now. Carrie!
I think that would be a perfect idea.
What's in your corner?
All right, so I have a lot of stuff to cover. There's a lot.
It took you guys 3 minutes to do that. 3 minutes. I'm impressed.
I was trying to lead Carrie into it to see if she wanted to. That was all.
That's what I was trying to do, but subtlety is not an option here, apparently.
But Carrie fell into it. Carrie fell into it. We got her going, so it was really good.
I was playing along.
It was good. You know what? If we didn't talk about it right here, probably the fans would have been like, oh, look how they did that. But no.
All right. So, guys, I have a lot in my corner. It is extremely full. It's spilling out into other parts of the room. It's really bad, listeners. All right. So, I'm just going to get into it. I got the G1 special results I want to talk about. I want to preview the G1 Climax 28 for you. Let's start with the G1 special that occurred this past Saturday in San Francisco. First match up, we had a 10-man tag team match with members of Chaos, Guido, Roppongi 3K, Rocky Romero, and Yoshihashi versus Bullet Club members Tama Tonga, Tonga Loa, Yujiro Takahashi, Chase Owens, and King Haiku. Winner, Bullet Club. Next match, we had Toru Yano Tomohiro Ishii versus Zack Sabre Jr. and Minoru Suzuki. Winner, Yano and Ishii. Next match, we had Kushida and Hiroshi Tanahashi versus Marty Scurll and Hangman Page. Hangman Page and Scurll won the match. Next matchup, we had the Never Open Weight Championship match, Hirooki Goto versus Jeff Cobb, or Matanza Cuerto from Lucha Underground, for those of you who are more familiar with him. Winner, Goto retained in that match. Moving on to the IWGP Heavyweight Tag Team Championship match, we had Evil and Sonata versus the Young Bucks. The Young Bucks retained.
Boo.
Really good match. I really, really suggest people watch it. It's actually the best I've ever seen the Bucks look. Moving on to the next matchup, we had Will Ospreay and Kazuchika Okada versus Bushi and Tetsuya Naito. Winner, Ospreay and Okada. Next up, we had the IWGP Junior Heavyweight Championship. Hiromu Takahashi versus Dragon Lee. Takahashi retained. Post-match, we actually got some bad news that Takahashi suffered a neck injury as a result of a botched move towards the end of the match. Moving on to the IWGP United States Championship match, Jay White versus Juice Robinson. We have a new United States champ. Juice Robinson picked up the title.
Boo.
Moving on to the IWGP Heavyweight Championship match, Kenny Omega versus Cody. Omega retained in this match, and post-match, the Bullet Club imploded with the Tongans versus, well, everybody else. The Bullet Club is not fine, everyone. The Bullet Club is not fine. And that is your review and results from the G1 special in San Francisco. Moving on to the G1 Climax 28, which starts this Saturday, July 14th, and continues through until August 12th. What is a G1 Climax, you ask? Well, it is a round-robin style tournament where the wrestlers either in Block A or Block B face each other for points. Each wrestler will only face his fellow blockmates once during the tournament. The points leader in each block will face each other in the G1 final. The prize to the winner of the G1 is a guaranteed heavyweight title shot at Wrestle Kingdom in January. Block A participants include Hiroshi Tanahashi, Kazuchika Okada, Jay White, Hangman Page, and Minoru Suzuki. Block B participants include Kenny Omega, Kota Ibushi, Tetsuya Naito, Sonata, Zack Sabre Jr., and Juice Robinson. Just to preview the first 4 days of matchups to watch. Day one, we have Okada versus Jay White and Tanahashi versus Suzuki. This is a replay of Wrestle Kingdom 12's it's not a replay of anything, but it will be a good matchup. Scratch that. Day two, we have a replay of last year's G1 final, Kenny Omega versus Tetsuya Naito. Moving on to day three, we have Hiroshi Tanahashi versus Jay White, which is a replay of the Wrestle Kingdom 12 Intercontinental title match. And on day four, we have a replay of the 2016 G1 final, Hirooki Goto versus Kenny Omega. And there are your previews for the first 4 days of the G1. I'll be back next week with where we are in the tournament and also some more matches to watch for days 5 through probably 8 at this point. But stick with Carrie's Corner for your source of everything G1 Climax 28.
It's kind of like Carrie's in like podcast prison. She just had her hour out in the yard to just roam around and have fun. You're going back in your cell now. So, Russ, you're on mute. Whatever you had to say wasn't important right now.
God damn it.
What is important is that the NWO just celebrated their 22 years. Remember when WCW existed?
Sure do.
They kept pushing a group down everybody's throats until the company went belly up. As a matter of fact, one of their biggest stars became very instrumental in booking and everything, and he thought he was the shit. He probably could have booked, something that was, everybody could have been all involved, But I don't think history's going to repeat itself at all, damn it. I don't think so at all. Not at all.
What are you referring to, Kent?
The Bullet Club could not be more NWO-ish if they tried.
I was going to say, they're really pushing the Bullet Club down your throat. I mean,
they, to the point where, like, now you're seeing, I've never seen so much Bullet Club stuff in my life on like, wrestling like news sites as I have the past 6 months, to the point where it's very it feels very familiar to the NWO time. Granted, we didn't have the news sites, we didn't really have we had internet, but you know, it was a different time, obviously. They really need to come up with something new, because I mean, they are going to beat this horse is dead. They are beating it. They need something new, or else it's going, like, it's really starting to feel like WCW back when WCW was like, oh, well, red and black versus white and black, and now we're splitting up. Oh, now we're back together. Now we have Finger Poke of Doom. I mean, are we going to get a Finger Poke of Doom? I don't know. I hope so.
That would make their NWO transformation complete.
And, Carrie, where was the update on Jim Ross? That was the most important thing that happened at that event. So, what's going on with good old JR? Why is your company hurting JR? WWE wouldn't do that.
Have you seen a table going on to Michael Cole? That happened.
Michael Cole is undefeated at WrestleMania.
That is true.
Yeah, whatever. Anyway, just to go back to the whole NWO Bullet Club, you know, parallel you guys are trying to make, to be honest with you, I think this is the end of it. Like, I think it's going to be
Elite. Well, I mean, we're
elite,
not making it. It is. When you would have to agree that Bullet Club is NWO of today. Like, they've stole pretty much everything in a lot of ways, and they modernized it. Would you... I mean, they are.
I was going to say, the Bullet Club may be dead, but now we're going to have Bullet Club and Sniper Rifle Club or something like that. You know, like NWO and Wolfpack.
Oh,
so that's,
no, yeah. It's the Elite, basically, and the Tongans. I don't know exactly how they're going to rename themselves. I mean, you have the Elite, you have the subgroup, the Golden Elite, and then you have basically everybody else in Japan that was not in... That is not in the elite. That is not on being in the Elite.
Which is hilarious, because there used to be NWO Black and White, NWO Black and Red, NWO Japan.
Yeah, or I was going to say, this is going to be Bullet Club Red, Bullet Club Blue, and...
Like, I'm kind of... The thing is, it is an exciting time. Like, I'm making fun of Carrie, but it's also kind of an exciting time to see if New Japan can learn from the mistakes. Because... They rode the success, which is what you want to do. The question is, now that you can't go much further with it. I mean, it's not fresh anymore. Now you got to do something fresh. You got to reinvent the wheel again. Do you think that they're going to reinvent the wheel, or do you think they're going to just keep beating this dead horse like WCW did, Carrie?
Given the level of creativity that the main group has, the guys who are considered the Elite, that part of that subgroup, I see this playing out in a very well-told story way. I don't think that you're going to see the mistakes that were made in the past. I think these guys are a lot better storytellers than those guys are, or were.
I mean, if you exclude the Young Bucks, I might be okay, but...
They really are probably one of the worst things ever. I would instruct you to watch Being the Elite and see how they put together like the videos, because it's Matt and Nick that put together the videos for Being the Elite. It's pretty much their story. Everybody else is kind of contributes in. So to say that they can't storytell, that's kind of a fallacy.
Well, to be fair, WWE can storytell too sometimes, but man, do they botch it a lot. So,
yeah, they haven't done that lately at all. But, Kent, you brought up something else with JR. Last thing I heard, something about a broken rib and trouble breathing, which really just sucks. I mean, I don't know if this was a planned spot or not. It was shocking when I watched it, when I saw, you know, Jay White basically throw Juice Robinson into the guardrail, which in turn basically knocked JR out of his chair.
There's no way. No, I didn't see it. But there's no way that was planned. JR cannot do anything anymore, like wrestling-wise.
JR shouldn't be involved in spots, but the reason why people are considering a spot, if I'm correct me if I'm wrong, but it was Josh Barnett's participation after that made it questionable whether it was a spot, right?
Yeah, because basically Josh Barnett got up from the announcer table, went in, basically chased Jay White around the ring, and basically told him, he's like, you fucked up. So I don't...
Yeah, he actually swore on
which
commentary.
Which makes me think that it's not fake, because, I mean, he, you know...
It's weird. You should watch it, Russ, and make your own decision, okay. But it's a unique thing to see, because normally it's quite easy to tell if it's a fake or not. I have no idea. Do they swear on commentary ever, Carrie?
Not usually on commentary. I mean, once in a while you may get a swear word out of Don Callis, but no, not usually.
And I mean, can this lead to an angle? That's the other question. Is there any money in an angle from this? Because if there's no rhyme or reason to have an angle, then I would say it's real.
Not so much, because really what JR and Josh Barnett do is they do kind of after-the-fact commentary, because they do the Access TV commentary. And Kevin Kelly and Don Callis, when he's around, or other people filling in, do the English commentary for New Japan World. So, not sure, but highly doubt it.
Russ, I'll get you a link for it so okay. You can see it. All right.
I think we talked way more time on anything else that's not WWE for one day, though. So let's...
We just pleasured Carrie in a way that Eric hasn't...
Well, Eric has been, actually, because he's been the one treating this New Japan love affair of hers, so...
Hey, he's starting to like it just as much as I am.
Oh, we know. We know.
All right, Russ, I do have a question for you now.
What is the question?
Is it mild?
Is it mild? Well, you must be talking about my fun segment every week, Is It Mild? This is where I take a wrestling segment for the week, and I talk about it, and I look at it from a wrestler's perspective, okay? I look at, well, from a wrestling fan's perspective, I should say. I look at it and say, is this what wrestling fans want? Do we get excited when we see this? So, I have three categories for this. Technically four, but we usually only do three. We got mild. That's the, okay, yeah, it was decent, but it wasn't great. You got the medium. All right, now you're starting to get me as a wrestling fan. You got hot, which is that's what the wrestling fans like. And then, of course, we have everyone's ultra super. This is the ultimate fan's favorite, and it's the highest up we can get. Kat, what type of flavor is that?
Oh, that is the traditional taste from Middle America called TJP.
A little bit of sweet TJP. It is... Starts with an S, Kat. What are we going to call this? It's not sizzling. It's,
Is it
suicide-y? Yeah, I think it's suicide. You're right. A little bit of suicide. That's right. All right, so this week I have chosen to look at the Miz TV segment. And here's the reason why. It was chaos. All right? It went from the Miz bringing out Team Hell No, which I thought they did a really good job with this. I really enjoyed the back and forth between Daniel and the Miz. Love the fact of how Miz was trying to play this whole thing out. If you guys weren't paying attention, it was really good. Miz was trying to be professional and kind of made Daniel look like a bit of a dick until everything that the Miz was trying to do was definitely underhanded, making Team Hell No look bad, all that stuff. Really well done. I thought the Miz did a great job. And then he left. But when he left, the Bludgeon Brothers came out, which distracted Team Hell No. And then, even after that, Insanity came out, which I have no idea why.
Sanity, Russ.
Sanity. Damn it, I don't know why I call him Insanity. Sanity came out, which kind of shocked me. I don't know why they came out. But then the New Day came out to save everything. And this just became a huge mess of, honestly, Sanity and Bludgeon Brothers surprisingly just wiping the floor with everybody, which kind of scares me for the matchups coming up this week. But they just destroyed them. And it was like utter chaos for at least 5 to 10 minutes. So I'm looking at this as a wrestling fan, and I'm going to tell you right now, I really like this. This was hot on my measurement. I was excited by the end of this. I was like, yes, this is great. It was a good showing for Sanity. They made the Bludgeon Brothers look great in this, and they didn't do anything. All they did was stood there basically and threw a couple of punches, and I thought the Bludgeons came out great on this. This was very hot for me. I'm not going to go Suicide TJP stuff. It wasn't quite there for me, but this was hot. This is exactly what I want to see. They started out with a fun segment. It devolved into chaos, but chaos that was fun. So that's my segment. I thought it was great. I'm curious to think what you guys kind of thought of it, though. So, Carrie, what did you think of this one?
It was enjoyable for me. I liked it. I saw hints of what a Miz and Daniel Bryan feud is going to look like. Like a full-time feud, not just like one-offs that we've been having lately. And I'm excited by it. The foreshadowing is great. It's probably the most exciting thing I've seen in the past few weeks for WWE.
Kent?
What about you, Kent?
Wow. That was nice, right? Both of you. I think that when we finally get it, Miz versus Daniel Bryan may have the greatest video package for their first match. Possibly ever in the history of wrestling, because there is so many years of substance that they could really do like an hour-long documentary-style video and fill it up. Like, and this is just another piece to that video. But shame on both of you. Really? No NSYNC reference from either of you.
I completely forgot.
Really? The highlight of the whole segment?
Oh, yeah, I forgot about that.
I forgot all about that.
And then they followed it up later on in the night with the backstage segment, which was a thing of beauty.
Yep.
I liked a lot of it. I really liked the new Team Hell No shirt. I thought it was very sharp. I also liked Undertaker's return merchandise for NYC. I don't know if either of you saw the shirts, but they looked really nice. They're still on WWE.com, last I knew. Yeah, I agree. I wouldn't go Suicide E, but, you know, Big E did good.
Yeah, this was...
I'm a little afraid, though. I'm a little afraid of what this told. I know we're going to get to predictions, but...
Yeah, it does kind of scare me for Sanity and Bludgeons, but we'll see.
All right, well, with that said, why don't we go right into our preview of the SmackDown side of the Extreme Rules card. Let's start with our kickoff show match, Sanity versus New Day in a tables match.
Wow, it's like we jumped right into it.
Yeah. See what I did
there?
That
was nice.
Oh, thank you. Just because it's Sanity's first pay-per-view, I'd like to see them pick up the win here. What about you, Kent?
Well, yeah, I mean, we would all like something reasonable to happen, but I mean, anybody that's been watching Bobby Roode since he's been on the main roster kind of knows, you know, Eric Young and Bobby Roode are very close in real life. They were tag team for years. They tag teamed as Team Canada and TNA. Really, what the fuck's Sanity done on the main roster? Have they even won a match? Because I think they job every time that they're in the ring. They are the No Way Jose of SmackDown, and I don't know how, because Sanity was awesome in NXT, and I mean, fuck. I'm really worried. Sanity really needs this win more than New Day. I hope Sanity gets it. I hope that maybe the fourth member shows up and helps them secure the win, because she fought Becky Lynch over the weekend. So, fingers crossed. High pitch.
Maybe. Just a little.
Gotta
be great. Nah, they're going to be fine. Trust me.
Yeah, I'm not worried.
What are your thoughts?
Okay,
Russ?
I honestly, I think this is going to be a fun match. It's going to be a really good showcase for Sanity.
Like, is this almost too good of a match for a kickoff show match?
That's the only thing that scares me, is that it's kickoff. But I think they're gonna do it. They're gonna. I can't. The only reason I think this is kickoff is because there's just not enough time in the rest of the night. I think it's the only reason.
Well, kickoff's been getting what, like 15 to 20 minutes almost?
And I think this one will get about 15 to 20. There's just no way. I can't see this being bad. I don't know if I'll see it because it's on the kickoff, but I might. I might go and check this one out.
It's not on Hulu.
I know it's not on Hulu, but I do have the WWE Network, so. I'm going to say this, though. I think Sanity's winning this. First of all, New Day doesn't need the win at all. And it's a stipulation match where a fluke can happen easily. And it's one of those, oh, they won, they're dominant now, except it doesn't make New Day look bad if they lose. So I think they're winning this. I definitely think this is Sanity's first win here, especially with New Day. I feel like New Day is one of those groups that just, they want others to get over. So,
they're happy to be there, which is a blessing and a curse. Because nice guys finish last in WWE often. Braun, Roman.
Yeah. But I think Sanity's going to pick this one up. Should be a fun match, though.
All right, let's move on to the SmackDown Tag Team Championship. We have the Bludgeon Brothers versus Team Hell No. I think Team Hell No's picking up the win here. Kent, what do you think?
I don't like anything you just said. That's what I think. I don't like this match. I don't want this match. Take it away. Just stop. Because, I mean, really, Bludgeon Brothers have been defending their titles religiously. They don't need to be defending their titles at a pay-per-view. Just give them the, you know, night off with the titles and let them keep it. Is this really going to be the... Is realistically, this is how they're going to put a belt on Daniel, right? Like, this is how they're going to do it, because they're going to put the belt on... well, we're going to talk about the other belt that's going to switch hands. And they just don't seem to want to take the belt off of AJ. So, if they're transitioning the U.S. Championship, they don't want to take it off of AJ, and they really want to do something with Daniel... I mean, cue Phil Collins in the air tonight. God damn it. I'm still picking the Bludgeon Brothers out of sheer principle, and I know I'll be wrong.
Russ?
I think the Bludgeon Brothers are going to come out on top of this one. I don't feel like... Oh, God, no, I don't know. I feel like they want to ride... Team Hell No as far as it can, which is at least another month.
Well, how much longer is... I mean, when does the race kick in?
August. I want to say August. Like, he's literally got a month.
I mean, if that's the case, that's the only good thing that that Bludgeons have going for them.
I feel like it's better to have the Bludgeons win this. It doesn't make sense for Team Hell No to get this. In fact, if they want to start their... story for The Miz, now's the time to do it. And have them lose, maybe because of The Miz. Does The Miz even have a match? I don't think he does he?
No, he's going to be in a celebrity softball game, so he will not be there.
Oh, okay.
So that is a problem. Yes. I mean, you have to ask. I mean, are the Bludgeon Brothers... We like the Bludgeon Brothers, but are they really getting booked in a way that's entertaining?
No, but they're getting booked dominantly. Which makes me feel like they need another win or two to keep them as that dominant force. If they lose here, they've got nothing. And that kind of doesn't work.
It's a short run. It's what, 3 months?
Yeah, not even. 2.5, I think, right?
April to July.
Okay. Maybe. I don't know. I fear they're going to do what we don't want, but what the masses want. But I also don't think it's... I think this is... Daniel may want to push the Bludgeon Brothers. You never know. Like, Daniel's one of those guys. He's a giver. He doesn't care. He just wants to wrestle. So,
I agree with that sentiment. And it's not like Kane's ever been a taker. Right. Double entendre. That's pretty good.
So, yeah. I feel this is just another way to step the Bludgeon Brothers up. But again... What are they stepping him up to?
Sanity. I'm convinced that that's what they we're might. Getting is, which would be good. It, Sanity who else is on SmackDown's tag roster right now? The only team that Bludgeon Brothers hasn't gone up against is Cesaro. Yes.
Where are they?
Possibly that's what they're holding. Oh no.
Where's Cesaro?
I started a milk carton campaign for those two.
Seriously.
I don't know what happened to him.
Yay, going to SmackDown and really.
I think they were hanging out with AOP, I think. I think they were trying to hold Bobby and Roman back. We just didn't see them.
Maybe.
They blended in with everybody.
That's right.
Yeah.
Even though they're SmackDown, they were out there on Raw. Oh, man.
Come on, you can actually see that happening.
Oh, yeah, you're right. Yeah, totally. I don't know. I'm just really scared of this match because I like everyone involved. So I guess I won't care if Daniel and Kane won. I just think it's better if the Bludgeon Brothers get this win and make them more of that dominant force so a real tag team match can get involved. So I'm hoping Bludgeon Brothers.
All right, let's move on to the United States Championship match. We got Jeff Hardy versus Shinsuke Nakamura. This is probably going to be the match on the card where we see a title change, so I got Shinsuke picking up the win. Ken, what do you think?
Shinsuke's going to win, and I got Nakamura to say about that?
Ha-ha!
Well done, well done.
I really like. Is anybody expecting any other outcome?
No. This is their.
Is there
this
a reason?
Is literally
to?
Their. This is literally their. Saying, "Hey, sorry, we didn't give you the WWE title. Here's your United States Championship belt. Congratulations.
Here's your consolation prize. Because this drunk ass, you know, who can't just drive sober. We've still kept the belt on him, so." Yeah.
Good stuff. I think it'll be a good...
Well, also, isn't Jeff Hardy injured? So I think he probably just wants to take time off and get healed.
Didn't he just come back from an injury, like, not even 3 months ago?
He came back on the night after Mania.
Yeah. He's getting older, so injury prone is definitely... I think we've called this when he was younger. As he gets older, he's going to get more and more injuries.
I'm shocked he's still wrestling.
Yeah, me too.
I mean, if we're being honest, I'm shocked.
A lot of crap has gone on with him. Man, this isn't a tough one at all, but I think it's going to be good.
Do you think it's going to be a good match? Because I think it's going to be short.
I guess it depends on how badly injured Jeff really is. So
I'd give it 12 minutes at most.
Yeah. I think it'll be okay. It'll be fun. I'm curious to see what they're going to do. Because it's the United States Championship, I'm hoping they really make a run on this with Nakamura having it, since he's not from the United States. I hope they really do something with that. It could be fun. But yes, definitely Nakamura. I don't see Jeff winning this.
All right, let's move on to the next one. We have the SmackDown Women's Championship. Carmella versus Asuka in an Ellsworth on a pole. I mean, in a shark cage match. I see Ellsworth becoming a factor in this match, even though he's in a shark cage. So I say Carmella retains. What do you think, Russ?
Yeah, this is a tough one.
A tough one to pick or a tough one to get excited about?
A little bit of column A, a little bit of column B on this one. I don't know. I hate shark cage matches. I think they're stupid as all hell.
RoboCop disagrees.
True. I have no idea how this is going to play out. I think when you usually have a shark cage match, typically the person in the cage does end up doing something and helps the person there be the reason why they're in the cage in the first place. That's typically what happens. But I also see Asuka winning this because she's been on a bit of, I think Asuka's been great lately, doing what she needs to do. I loved what she's done doing with James Ellsworth. But my God, I don't see Carmella losing this. I think she's going to retain. Something's going to happen wonky. Yes, wonky.
Yeah.
And Kent.
Well,
since Carrie wasn't quite ready.
Like, isn't there an issue with Ellsworth always just wearing the shorts? Like, he needs to wear pants for this because he needs to be hiding something somewhere, and those shorts aren't had
very
revealing. Like, you always got, like, the person in the cage has to hide something in some place so they can drop it down, and that will determine the winner. Now, sometimes it goes to the bad guy, sometimes to the good guy, because the, you know, bad guy slips up and whatnot. Here's the thing. As happy as I am that Ellsworth is back, WWE has dropped the fucking ball on Carmella yet again to the point where I'm getting disgusted with how they're booking the women, because that girl should be the main feature on damn near every episode of SmackDown, because she was carrying that fucking division like nobody else on SmackDown since Miss Bliss's run of dominance. Carmella was owning that, and since Ellsworth's been back, he's creeped more, and now he's the fucking face of the women's division. I like Ellsworth. He's great comedy fodder, but he shouldn't be the face of the women's division. Carmella should be, and he should just be the sidekick that we all kind of laugh at. This is not working for me, and if I didn't want them to take it off Carmella, I don't want them to, but if they're going to continue booking it that way, fuck it. Just fucking blow the whole goddamn thing up. I'm sick of this type of booking. Carmella deserves better. Girl's busted her ass to get to where she's at. She deserves better. I'm still picking Carmella to win. I mean, come on. She needs to walk into Brooklyn with the belt, right?
Yes.
Yes.
I guess. I think she's got it till SummerSlam at least.
I mean, once again, what heel on the roster is going to step up all of a sudden? Because Peyton Royce and Billy Kay haven't been treated like anything. They've gotten the rude awakening. Yes. Mandy Rose and I can't even think of
Sonya Deville.
Wow. God damn. I mean, so like, who's going to step up? I mean, fortunately, Little Rick hasn't been on in a while. Thankfully. Yes. And have you missed her? No. Not one
bit.
She got
surgery, right?
All of a sudden.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah. Yeah. Gotta fix those
fakings.
Yeah. I just fingered through the ESPN The Body magazine. Lots of black man ass.
So you were excited.
Yeah, it was a great time to be alive. I'm just saying, like, when they showed man ass for, like, even though, like, it's not all, like, one race or another, if it was man ass, it was usually black man ass, and I felt like I was watching, like,
Xavier Woods show Paige an episode. How it's done?
I was going to go for a Sons of Anarchy reference. Russ is not all about
yes,
Paige.
That horse is running away again.
No, that horse has been beaten to dust. Like, its bones are dust now.
I think that... Does the horse have Stockholm Syndrome at this point?
I think it does, and I think we're on our second horse.
We may be. We found a horse that looks very similar to the first horse and started beating that one.
And that one's almost gone, so we're going to have to start looking for that third horse, guys. All right, guys. Let's move on. Let's talk about the last match. Let's talk about the WWE Championship match, AJ Styles versus Rusev. I'm happy Rusev finally got an opportunity and a title shot. It was, you know, a long time coming. But with that said, we know he's not going to win. He's there as a placeholder. AJ's keeping the title. AJ retains. What do you think, Russ?
Well, before I get into this match, I just want to say Rusev killed it on commentary this week on SmackDown. Holy crap, was he good.
I had to stop fast-forwarding because I was intrigued what he had to say, and then I kept watching.
He was spot on. I loved the fact that, I can't think of his name now, whatever his name is, commentator there.
Saxton.
Byron? Yeah, Saxton. Saxton was basically like telling Rusev he didn't deserve his title chance, and then Rusev just literally shut him down with saying, "I have been held like, it felt real to me, like he was saying it for real. Like, he was pissed. He has been held back, basically, for years, and he's finally getting his shot. And I was just like, he's fucking right. Damn right he's right. So he nailed it. And then he said the best thing ever. I came in on a tank at WrestleMania. Who else can say that? And I was like, he's right. Freaking tank. God damn it.
You can't argue with that.
No, you can't. So that's all he has to do is bring it up, and he wins. That argument's his. I would rode on a tank. He's right. Unfortunately, I think Kerry's right. I don't think this is going to be a very happy Rusev day, but I think it's going to be a hell of a match. AJ can get a match out of anybody. Rusev's really good in the ring. This should be fun. Really decent. I don't expect this to be any less than stellar. So I'll be disappointed if it's not good. I don't see them taking it off AJ at this point yet either. So AJ retains, which is kind of unfortunate. But as long as it's a good showing, I think this will be good for Rusev.
All right, before we move on to Kent, did you guys see Corey Graves' new shirt?
No. Wait, did he wear it on SmackDown?
No, but he has a new t-shirt. It says Shut Up Saxton on it.
Very nice.
All right, Ken, what are your thoughts?
I wish we had Steve on here so he could back me up on what I'm about to say. I think if you look through the history of WWE and their July pay-per-views, you will find... I'm not sure if you will find a single world title change on a July pay-per-view. They just don't really fucking happen. I'm not saying ever, but I'm really drawing a big blank on this. They typically don't because, you know, they have in their mind what they're already building up for SummerSlam. It's almost like the opposite of what they do for WrestleMania because now they seem to want to change the belt in February. Whatever. Why not? Why not? I've talked myself into it. Like, why not? I'm done with AJ being champion. He's not done me wrong or anything. I'm fulfilled. I'm good. I'm full on this AJ
best.
Yeah,
AJ has held the belt for a respectable amount of time.
Longer than we thought he would go and get, really.
It's been respectable. His matches have been at least good to great. A decent champion, but his best work is when he's chasing. And I agree with you on that. Him holding the belt, fine. I'm fine with it. You're right. He's done nothing wrong with it. But I think he does better when he chases. And his stories are just boring. That's the only problem. I was thinking about it when I watched SmackDown this afternoon. I was like, God, I love AJ, but I feel like all he does is he's there. That's it. He's not giving me interesting stories, nothing exciting happening. He's just there.
AJ's at his best when he's chasing and or has a sidekick that is more entertainment value. Him and Christian and TNA. Him, Christian, and Tomko were fucking dynamite. It was a great time to be a fan. Yeah, AJ... In all fairness, though, the bookers haven't given him shit to work with.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. I mean, not his fault.
The most interesting thing was the Shinsuke thing about getting hit in the balls, for fuck's sakes. That was the most interesting part of that whole angle was, hey, I got hit in the balls. All right, let's just...
Here's the other thing about it. AJ's so damn good, he can fix these problems himself. That's why I always think of AJ as like one of the best performers that WWE has ever had the grace to have.
But doesn't that also make it incredible when you think about Shawn Michaels? Because not only was Shawn Michaels every bit as good as AJ for his time, but he was also entertaining as fuck when he wanted to be. Like, that's an incredible... I go back and I didn't appreciate Shawn Michaels as much as I should have. I openly admit this.
Shawn Michaels has an it factor that I don't think very many people have had. I think The Rock had it, and I think Stone Cold had it. And honestly, I don't think anybody today has it. They just have this it factor. And I think AJ, if he had that it factor, he would be probably, I would consider him probably the best wrestler to ever exist. I'll be honest with you. He's got every other tool. He has an it factor. He just doesn't have that it factor that like Michaels has, Austin had, and The Rock. Those three are like the three I can think of. I'll even almost put Jericho in that it factor too.
Jericho and Flair.
Flair, you're right. I didn't even think about Flair. Right. Flair, definitely. They just have that it factor that nobody else has, which is just like an above the normal it factor. You know what I mean? It's really hard to explain.
Yeah, no, it's perfectly reasonable, though, in the fact they had great matches, but they could also... They had everything going for them, plus they were just must-see TV. And AJ, quite frankly, just needs to be paired with Gallows and Anderson. If you just give him those guys are hilarious, and they will provide the extra bit that we need to remain interested in what AJ is doing. As a matter of fact, give us AJ, Gallows and Anderson versus Sanity, and I am 100% sold on that feud, for instance. And that'd be a great way to build all those guys up. So, I say, why not Rusev? Why not now? Like, they did it with Jinder last year, right? And Jinder really was not nearly as popular. Like, he wasn't nowhere on the popularity scale. Why not Rusev? Why not, if this is the land of opportunity, I'm sick of hearing about the land of opportunity. Who's getting opportunities nowadays? It's all like the same tired people. So, do it. Land of opportunity this shit. Jinder Mahal this shit. Make Rusev the champ. And give me Rusev versus Samoa Joe headlining SummerSlam for SmackDown.
Here's my only problem with Rusev getting... Or at least the reason I don't think Rusev is getting the belt. Remember a couple months ago when Lana came out and basically... Innuendo.
The dance contest?
A little bit before. She basically said that Rusev's being held back, but all of a sudden they just completely dropped the story. I feel like they're saying, nope, hold on, we'll come back to this later. And guess what? After this match in July at the Extreme Boar, I mean, Extreme Rules. Yes, I stole Kent's joke.
Hey, it worked.
I think they're going to pull it back, and it's going to be Aiden English versus Rusev at SummerSlam.
Which is the worst decision they can make right now. 100%.
They're definitely screwing themselves. They've got something. They got gold in Rusev Day here.
They fucked last week because AJ versus Aiden should have been a longer match, and AJ should have let Aiden get some offense on. The booking on that was terrible. Yeah. I don't blame AJ. But they had an opportunity to make Aiden look like a potential future star, and they blew it.
So yeah.
Can we stop? Like I'm sick of this paper. I don't even want to do next week. Oh wait, we ain't doing next week's podcast. We'll have to do it like a different day. We're not doing it Wednesday.
What's going on Wednesday, the 18th? Oh, duh! You already told me. What is going on, Kent? You should probably promote it.
I did already, but, you know.
That's a sign of a good market man.
Yeah, I'm terrible at this. As anybody that listened to last week's podcast, me being the fucking person that has to lead a podcast, I am terrible at that. I am not good at that job. This is why Carrie does this particular job. So... Yeah, my buddy Jay Leonard, he has a film coming out, premiering. Yeah, what? Yeah, I'm on
July 18th.
July 18th at the Proctor's GE Theater in Schenectady, New York. It's called The Other One. Admission is free. I guess we're getting some drinks and stuff, so, I mean, even if it's not my sort of thing, I can still drink and enjoy it. So... That's what I have looking forward to next Wednesday, and I'm sure next week at some point we'll get together, we'll make fun of this great pay-per-view.
Yes.
This really wonderful pay-per-view.
Should be lots of fun to go over. Are we even going to do a review of this?
Yeah, I mean, okay. We always do. I mean, it's just going to be a lot of jokes. Lots of jokes.
Many jokes.
What about a preview for our listeners on the blogosphere? That's what they call it nowadays, right?
I think they're readers, but you go ahead.
You go.
So I'm assuming we'll be posting a preview sometime this week.
Yes. And I assume Carrie will be involved. I think Anana Russ is going to be involved. Harper's
going to
be involved.
Yeah, I don't know if I'm going to jump in, but we'll see.
Yeah, I'll probably just hold you back for the review section.
I like doing my reviews. We'll let Anana Russ jump this one.
And you'll be able to find that preview at 9news.com/wrestling.
That's why we got Carrie.
Attagirl.
All right, guys. We got one more piece of business to before we close out the week, our recap of the week. We have our segment, Were You Not Entertained? Each week, we take a segment that's happened in wrestling, and we discuss whether or not we were entertained by it. This week, we have selected Brock Lesnar's appearance at the UFC fights last Saturday, I believe. I didn't watch this because I was watching a G1 special, but from what I heard, he cut one hell of a promo, so I'm assuming if I watched it live, I would have been entertained. Kent?
Yeah, Daniel Cormier, who actually, he was originally a heavyweight, dropped down to the division below, which I think is light heavyweight, and became champion. And then he just had a heavyweight title match while still being light heavyweight champ. Beat Stipe? I don't know. Anyway, he beat him. And Cormier is a fucking beast, like a genetic beast. And yeah, he won. He's like, he called out Lesnar. Lesnar came out looking great in a suit. Like, it was the most fashionable I've ever seen Brock Lesnar. Like, he looked in good shape. He looked good. And then Lesnar cut a wrestling promo that I believe there was some swearing. And yeah, Lesnar brought some WWE to the UFC. I mean, backstage, Dana White and Vince are both just laughing because they're making money hand over fist over the stupid shit. Entertained? Yeah, why not? Because Vince is allowing this shit to happen.
I know for a fact that Dana White and Vince are, they're buddies. I wouldn't say they're like close friends, but they're on the same page. Like, they don't hate each other.
They're amicable.
Yes, I know that that's got to be a fact. I know, because Dana White pushes WWE too. It's not like he's, you know.
Yeah, you hear about it on both shows. You know, Ronda getting in the UFC Hall of Fame, Dana at WrestleMania.
Yeah, exactly. So they're definitely friends, and it benefits both of them, honestly. I never thought they were ever competition. It benefits both of them to have a little bit of each other in there. So I like that. Here is my take on this. I have no issue with it. I thought it was interesting, but I don't know. I'm just so sick of Brock at this point and everything he brings to the table. I'm just so done with it. Like, I honestly want him to take the belt, the red belt, and just leave. Man, what a screw job. It would be a screw job to Vince, so I don't think it would ever happen. But the red belt sucks. Who cares about the goddamn red belt? It's useless. Brock ruined the belt. He didn't make it better. He ruined the belt. I don't even care about it. Like, if they got rid of it, I wouldn't even miss it.
Well, yeah, I mean, at some point, when somebody actually full-time gets the belt, wouldn't if you were one of the higher-ups, wouldn't you suggest to Vince, like, maybe we should call it something else and get this awful taste of history as far, like, we fucked up. Like, just acknowledge, we fucked up. We got Roman over. Not at all. But we just wasted 4 years. Think about it. In the, was it test 3 or 4 years? Brock Lesnar's held the belt longer than anybody.
Yeah, he's held the belt longer than everybody.
It's insulting. It is absolutely insulting. Yeah.
So I'm going to go with not entertained. I should mention that. I wasn't entertained. I'm just so sick of Brock at this point. I don't even care.
I think Brock's going to lose that fight, providing he passes his test.
Just
and
looking at him.
He couldn't beat Mark Hunt without.
I think he's going to pass that test. I don't. I think he's off any possible drugs he could have been on. He looks a lot svelter.
He does look a little bit thinner. I was going to say.
He looks more athletic. He doesn't look as jacked, which is what Brock should. That's what Brock should have been trying to do in WWE. In an era where we're not caring about the muscles as much as we care about the athleticism, I never understood why he cared more about the the huge physique because he was a freak of nature athlete. They didn't take advantage of that fully.
All right, guys. I think that pretty much covers the week. Let's talk about what we're looking forward to next week in our segment. I'm not finished.
Well, Carrie, you said that was our last segment before. Now you're telling me there's another segment to attach to this segment. What is going on?
I said that was a segment to close out our discussion of the recap.
Okay.
This is to just talk about what we're looking forward to next week.
I'll follow it.
No, I'm agreeing with
you. Okay, me too. I'm back with my on board with me. You screwed up, Carrie.
Fine. Do whatever you both want. Anyway, what we're looking forward to next week. It is now time for I'm Not Finished With You Yet. I'm looking forward to the start of the G1. Kent, what are you looking forward to?
Not the start of the G1? Maybe Elias singing a song? Any more Elias bad-mouthing Boston because fuck that city and fuck the people live there.
And Russ.
I'm looking to my burn it down brother to see him get that belt back and have that championship he totally deserves. With, of course, his injury that will miraculously heal by Monday.
Fair enough.
Like, if you cut his leg off, will it regrow in time for Monday night?
Oh my God, his leg's cut off. Oh, it's back on. No, it'll be back on. It'll be back Sunday night. It'll be fine. It'll be back. Just in time for him to do that last move.
All right, guys, it's time to play our favorite game. It's time to play Guess the Wrestler. Each week, one of us, this week it's my turn, picks a wrestler, and it's up to the other two to guess who that wrestler is using 9 questions and 2 guesses. First two
are gimmies.
Answers are gimmies.
Gimmies.
I was getting
not
there.
Gimmies.
Gimme. Gimme.
Think of a little kid saying gimme. Okay. Gimme.
All right, gimme. All right. This is a former wrestler and it is a male.
Okay. I guess I'll start. Former wrestler, male. Titles. What's the big title that he is?
Tag team he's most known for. He also held the hardcore title for a while.
Shit. Alright. Which company was he best known for?
WWE.
And Russ, no need to ask about era. We
right,
know which
with the
era.
Hardcore. I got that one. Goddamn former, though. Mostly known tag.
There's only actually a handful. I actually just looked up hardcore champions like 2 weeks ago, and there's not a lot of them. I know you're looking it up.
I will eventually. Yes, I'll get there. Yes.
Yes. Yes.
All right. I guess.
You're cheating son of a bitch.
Hey.
But do we know if it's the WWE Hardcore Championship?
We didn't narrow that down. All right, is it the WWE Hardcore Championship?
No.
Oh.
Ah, what a twist! ECW never had a Hardcore Championship, right, Russ? So we're probably looking at WCW. I guess just to.
Yeah. What about doesn't TNA have a Hardcore Championship too? Or did they ever?
Not to my knowledge.
All right, it's got to be WCW.
Well, fuck it. Carrie, which company did this person hold aforementioned Hardcore Championship?
WCW. Okay.
That's a lot longer of a list, isn't it?
Russ, I'm not going to lie to you. I have not recently looked up best hardcore champions in WCW.
All right. Wow, we wasted a lot of questions on this one.
But otherwise, we were going to go on the assumption of WWE.
It would have been fucked.
Totally. So narrow it down,
right.
Russ.
Mostly known for tag. That's a WCW hardcore.
Are you serious?
No, I'm trying to think of a question to ask that would narrow this down a little bit. I'm going to try and see if this is something we can do. I want to, like, just tell me, when he was wrestling at this point, bigger guy or smaller guy? What are we looking at here?
He's a bigger guy.
When he was an active competitor, what was his hair color on the top of his head?
Black.
Shit.
Okay, black.
I was really hoping for Bam Bam.
Did we already do Bam Bam like 50 times already at this point?
It doesn't matter, Russ, because we'd still lose at this.
God damn, I don't know. Is this a big name in wrestling? Like, is he like someone I would recognize?
Possibly. If you're familiar with a lot of the wrestlers between the mid-80s to the early 90s.
I am not, so...
Oh! Carrie, did you think of this person because of events that happened recently in New Japan? Is that what
that always is the answer. That's going to be a yes no matter what.
Yes.
Damn right it was. World's toughest wrestler.
Well, I was thinking maybe Terry Funk, but I don't even know.
Although he was not involved okay. this weekend. As far as I know.
The only person I can even think of is like Terry Funk, but I don't. I don't know anybody else who's held.
Is this our last question?
It's yours, so. Yeah, I don't even know who this is. Like,
okay. Was he ever the king in WWF?
Yes.
Okay. Now, Russ, this man has four letters in both of his names that he's used. He also had the Tongan death grip and may or may not be considered the baddest man alive in the world of wrestling. The one person you would not want to fight with.
I'm still drawing a blank.
You did not pay attention at all to Carrie when she was going over this
all
weekend,
I started,
the big event.
All
event.
I heard was Japan name, Japan name, Japan name, Kenny Omega, Japan name, Japan name, Japan name. That's all I heard.
Russ, if I said that this man tag teamed with the Barbarian, does that help you?
No, I don't even know who the Barbarian is.
Okay, well, to save time on this, Haku, Meng.
Yes. Yes.
Oh, I don't even know who that is.
You don't know who the fuck Meng is?
I'm going to look him up right now.
You'll know him when you see him.
That's why I want to look him up. Maybe I just don't know it, recognize the name.
That was a good one, Carrie, because that took a lot of prompting.
Was he actually there?
Okay.
He was there, and he wrestled in the first match. He also took part in the post-championship match beatdown of basically the Elite.
When I saw the name, I was like, holy shit, is he still going, or did somebody take his name over? Like, I wasn't sure if it was like a next-generation type guy or not.
Basically, his sons wrestle in New Japan. Tama Tonga, Tonga Loa, and... There's one new guy who just came in, who's a young lion, who's also one of his kids.
Are they all kind of like thick, like the dad?
For the most part, Tama Tonga kind of looks like a cooler version of Roman Reigns.
Oh.
And Tonga Loa, pretty big guy. They're all big guys. And this either girth or. Couple of them are really tall too, so yeah, they're big guys.
All right, looking them up, He definitely looks familiar, but I've never seen him wrestle. So.
Well, if nothing else, you owe it to yourself to read some of the stories about the man, because he was... I don't think Taker would have won a fight with him. And I take Taker over damn near everybody.
I was while we were going through some of the stuff, I was reading through his Wikipedia page. The man is pretty much legit crazy, but I would never call him crazy to his face.
Hell no. Actually, I just watched Stevie Ray on YouTube talk about like some bar fight in which Haku eventually got involved, and like that ended shit real fast. Yeah, he was the human shield. If you need to get out of an arena that was getting a little rowdy, you got Meng.
I've seen him before. I know, I recognize the name. I've seen his face before, so I know who he is. At least we can go with that. So, all right.
All right. So, guys, that brings our show to a close for another week. Kent, any announcements for our listeners?
Well, Friday has a particular number attached to it. That could mean something.
Because of the 1-3?
Yes. Yes, indeed. So maybe I stop being so fucking lazy, and maybe I do something special for Friday.
All right, so nothing's going on.
Right.
Good stuff.
I want to leave you guys with a question. Not to be answered now, but to think over for the next week. I heard this theory, and it really intrigued me, and it made me think. Was Bret Hart included in the no on the screw job?
Do you think they really pulled it off for that long, though?
Why was there cameras backstage? There are so many good points to the... Like, I was watching this video, and this guy brought up all these points. I was like, if he knew about it, he's played it perfectly. And it worked. Like, he got to play the victim his whole life. Mm. He got to punch the boss in front of the boys. There's a lot to be said for this particular theory. Whether I agree with it or not, I'm not saying yes or no yet, but I have been thinking a lot about it, and it makes a ton of sense when you put everything together. You can start making an argument that maybe Bret really... I mean, Sean has changed his story over the years to originally never knowing anything about it to admitting that he knew about it beforehand. And a lot more people you find out knew about it beforehand, to the point where Bret couldn't have been that dumb. Right?
I don't know. I always thought there was something involved, but I don't know. We'll have to talk about that maybe next week.
Yeah, I think it'd be fun. I'd like to have Steve on for
that. So you're not going
to
have that. So, all right, we'll talk about the next...
Probably not.
All right, listeners, stay tuned for that discussion next week. And if you like what you heard tonight, hit that subscribe button on iTunes or wherever you get your podcasts. Or you can check us out on our website, ninedeuce.com/wrestling. And with that, from Russ, Kent, and myself, we wish you all a good night, and we'll talk to you all next week.
Bye, everyone!
If everything goes right, we might also be on Spotify and Google Play, as me and Carrie found out earlier in the evening. So, could be.